Hello and welcome to another episode of the Transportation Exchange podcast presented by Rush Truck Centers of Canada. I'm your host, Jason Cuddy. On today's episode, we're excited to welcome Fred Andersky from Bendex Commercial Vehicle Systems. Fred, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, it's good to be here.
So I wanted to get you guys on. I was at one of your, I guess, arrive and drive events a couple months ago with some customers. And I must say the technology we're about to talk to when you're in a vehicle in person is way more impressive than anything you see on video or read about. So I thought for those who weren't aware of what it is, we'll dig into it. But I think let's start off with maybe kind of just a quick history of Bendex and their background and history in the industry.
Oh, absolutely. Bendex has been in the braking business for over 90 years. And we, the brand name Bendex is actually, you can find it in the consumer side, but we're not involved in that anymore. That's really over with Honeywell. Our business, we are a subsidiary of Knorr Brems out of Munich, Germany, which is a global player in both commercial vehicles and railroad. And our focus has always been on the air brake system. And we go all the way back from generating air and cleaning air with our compressors and air dryers, directing air with our valves, and wheel ends such as drum and disc brakes for air brake trucks. And really what's been a real growth engine for us over probably the last 15 years since I've joined the company has been our electronics products. Now, everyone's familiar with ABS, but stability control like ESP, our Bendex ESP system, and now more and more advanced driver assistance systems like our Fusion collision mitigation technologies. So kind of if it has to do with air braked class 6, 7, and 8 trucks, we're typically involved in it in some ways.
Agreed. Yeah, I see it, you know, when we're speccing trucks, definitely with the air brake system, a lot of your components are available and traditionally on most of the vehicles that we push out. So part of, you know, what you just talked about is the mitigation side and the advanced, you know, driver control. And I think that's, you know, been kind of leading the charge as far as what we're seeing and has probably the most change in the industry as far as driver facing with regards to technology outside of anything electric, battery electric, that kind of side. But maybe kind of walk us through, you know, the history of the collision mitigation system as we see it today, kind of, you know, where to get it started and, you know, kind of how do we get to where we are?
Absolutely. And, Jason, I'd be remiss if I didn't sit back and remind folks that what we're really talking about here are driver assistance technologies, not driver replacement technologies. Right. But safe driving practices are still critical for overall highway safety. I mean, the driver is still responsible. And, you know, this isn't autonomous vehicle technology. Mm-hmm. This is that good old level 1 or 2. Technology. And so I don't want drivers to think that, hey, I just hop in the truck and I turn that switch on and I can go back, make myself a cup of coffee and relax in the bunk. That isn't the case. Okay. No. Drivers are still critical. Yeah. But as far as the technology goes, it's a great question. The evolution, you know, really started in 2009 for Bendex when we put a radar on the front of the vehicle, and this became what we called Wingman ACB or active cruise with braking. This is the adaptive cruise control component. And then 2011, we upgraded that to add the collision mitigation, still radar based, but now drivers would not only have adaptive cruise control, which helps keep them maintain a gap between themselves and the forward vehicle, but they would also have, should a collision situation arise, a rear-end collision situation, they would get alerts and interventions to help them mitigate that potential situation. In 2015, then, we added a camera to work with the system, and this is what became Fusion. And when you think about it, you know, when you make a decision, it's always better to have more than one source of information, and that's really what we're doing with Fusion. Radar is great for seeing those metallic objects, figuring out their speed, you know, and such, But they don't know what that object is. You know, is it a car? Is it a truck? Is it an overhead sign? And you really don't want those systems alerting on things or intervening on things that aren't really a threat to the driver. Adding the camera helps clarify that. So especially in the case of like stationary vehicles that are out on the road, and you know the situation, Jason, somebody stalls, leaves their truck in the middle or car in the middle of the lane, you come up on it. Well, now the radar will see that, but is it a threat? The camera helps verify that, yes, that's a vehicle and we want to do something. And what we do is we always alert the driver first, because as I mentioned earlier, driver is still the key component here. But if necessary, then we can intervene by cutting throttle and applying the brakes to help the driver mitigate that potential collision.
Right. No, it makes sense. And because I know when we look through, you know, the wingman, the way you explained it, you know, the advanced diffusion ACB, and you know, it's kind of evolutions of each and kind of a step up in you know, what involvement it has as far as helping a driver mitigate a situation.
Absolutely. You know, the technology continues to evolve, and we'll see new versions of Fusion that utilize the current hardware, but with upgraded capabilities. And we're also going to see new hardware coming down the pike, a new radar, as well as eventually a new camera. You know, Jason, you just take a look at your iPhone and, you know, we've gone from the flip phone to, you know, now the mini computer, if you will. Yeah. And, you know, that evolution also applies to advanced driver assistance systems.
Right. And tied into that, I mean, we have it in the cars, and I think we're seeing it more and more in trucks, and probably makes way more sense in the trucks, is, you know, lane departure warning, but also, you know, the blind spot, you know, warning, like, you know, letting you know when something's not there, because that's a big vehicle and you can't really catch everything in your peripheral.
Absolutely. You know, let's talk about blind spotter for a bit. Our blind spotters actually comes from VORAD, because we acquired VORAD back in 2010-2011 timeframe. But we've now upgraded that radar, so it does it delivers a wider field of view. Now, it doesn't replace the driver's need for mirrors. Okay, so you know, don't think, you know, hey, I don't need my mirrors anymore. Yes, you still do. But what this is really designed, as the name implies, is a radar mounted down on the side with a display on the A pillar. And what that does is, when everything's clear, the display will glow with a yellow LED. If there's something in your blind spot, it will glow red. And if you use your turn signal to indicate you want to make that lane change, the system will give you an audible alert. Now, what's new about the blind spotter radar we have now is the two things that are really critical. First of all, we've increased the area of coverage. We still go out 10 foot across the lane, but now we go 20 foot forward from the radar, 20 foot back. Now, some systems may go farther back, but again, this is why your mirrors are still important, because your mirror is usually going to see beyond that area. So we capture that blind spot on the side of the vehicle. And really, something that's important is we capture that blind spot towards the front of the vehicle. Right. You know, I don't know if you've seen these little mini bikes now that are riding around on the roads and stuff like that, or, you know, even small motorcycles and such, can get lost in that front end area. And even if you've got one of those nice fender mirrors on there, you might still not see that vehicle, that bike, or even that small vehicle that might be there. And so when you look in your mirror, when you look across at the A pillar, if the mirror is clear, but the blind spotter is glowing red, you might want to think before you make that lane change. And the other thing we do on blind spotter, Jason, which is, I think, really good now, is above 20 miles an hour, we're not looking for static metal. We're looking for moving metal. So like a vehicle. Right. And that helps us get rid of the old issue of, you know, picking up guardrails and things like that. So now when you see that's glowing red, you know, it's typically going to be something that's moving that's next to you.
Yeah, well said. And, you know, as this has evolved and it's being implemented in fleets, and we're seeing it adopted more and more, I think, as kind of a common practice across the industry. But as far as results, obviously, you know, if you're measuring stuff, you're looking at stuff, you can kind of put some results in. Maybe speak to what you have seen with this technology as far as being able to, you know, assist the driver from avoiding, you know, or going into severe or sometimes, you know, minor collisions and from that point of view.
So it's from that standpoint. Yeah. As you mentioned, Jason, you know, we do a lot of demos, and the importance of demos is really twofold in my mind. First of all, when you buy a new car, you typically like to go out and test drive it. Well, you know, fleets, when they're looking at new technologies, you know, they want to make sure those technologies are going to be effective in their particular operation. And so by being able to come out and experience the demo, you get a good view of, yeah, this could help my fleet. The second area, though, that's really important about the demo is the driver training aspect. Because one of the big issues that we've been seeing with adoption of the technology is the training for the drivers, you know, depending on the fleet, can be lacking. And that's why we do a lot with the video training things we do. For example, I'll get in the truck with the camera behind me and do what we call it from the driver's seat perspective. So folks get an idea of not only what the system can do, but what the system won't do. Okay. Right. Like we said at the beginning, drivers are still critical.
Yes.
It's still important. But from the standpoint of the value on the technology, points come across. First of all, we continue to grow selling this technology, and OEMs have made it standard on a lot of their highway vehicles. I can tell you, if it didn't work, if it didn't deliver an ROI for a fleet who's usually looking for that return on investment in 18 to 24 months, it wouldn't be selling.
Right.
The second thing is, fleets are seeing the return on their investment. And we had one fleet who told us, and this was a couple of years back, but they saw a 70% reduction in the number of rear-end collisions they were having, and then a 70% reduction in the severity of the remaining 30%.
Wild.
You know, and you remember that slide, mm-hmm. if we can move the fleet over from a fatality that might cost $20 million or more to a fender bender, or even better yet, a near miss, you can bet that impacts their bottom line, and they're going to be interested in making sure they optimize the return on it.
Yeah, no, that was an impactful slide because, like you said, the investment's there, but it's what it's doing and the results it's actually delivering, right? And it seems to step down the severity of an incident. Like you said, if the incident would have been a fatal collision, now it's a major collision. But, you know, people walk away and it's less impactful to everything. And then you step down from there. It kind of takes you a step away, which is nice. You know, and the training, I think, is the biggest piece. When we did the, you know, the arrive and drive with some customers, I think that was the biggest takeaway, mm-hmm. because, you know, a lot of things are happening in that vehicle. There's lights, there's buzzing, there's noise. And without proper training, those can be annoying, you know, in the day to day. And you can obviously fine tune them based on how much feedback you want. But I think part of the driver acceptance piece is the training, making sure they understand what the technology is doing for them, how to use it to help them, you know, be successful in their day and go without any, you know, major incidents.
Absolutely. Because what we find is, you know, the following distance alerts from the collision mitigation system, I call that the driver's two-edged sword. It's both a benefit and it can be a pain. On the pain side, drivers feel that, you know, hey, we get too many alerts, you know, especially in traffic. Well, the first thing I always say to that is, remember, safety training, driver training systems like Smith system always emphasize a 7-second or more following distance.
Right.
our first alert in our most conservative scenario comes on at about 3 seconds. You know, that's 4 seconds into that zone where you really shouldn't be. So when you get that first alert, it's probably telling you to maybe back off a little bit. The benefit on the following distance alerts, though, is this is the driver's first line of defense in mitigating a potential collision.
Right.
The gap is closing. Driver, let's pay attention to what's going on. And if the alert's bothering you too much, just back off a little bit, okay? And the alert will go away. But getting that first input means the driver can act before the system does. And that's really the goal of the technology. We called it in the past Wingman because the idea was it was there to back up the driver, not replace him.
Right. And I think that was one of the funny feedbacks as we did the demos that you're driving the truck and, you know, we're sitting in the back of the cab and my feet are flying in the air as you're hitting the brakes. But basically, you know, the feedback from drivers is like, you know, I didn't know the system can do that. I didn't know it did that. And, you know, the owner was basically like, we don't ever want it to, you know, this is where you want to experience it. I mean, it's there, like you said, it's to help you, but hopefully it never engages to that level that it needs to totally do what it does. But this is what happens when it does. So at least you know what's going on, you know, at that moment, because there's so much going on, you know, should that happen in the real world, it'd be nerve wracking, but it's there to assist you. But yeah, it's not something you want to experience very often.
Yeah, it's not autopilot, okay? Yeah. And even autopilot, when you think about it, has been around on planes for 30 years. And I don't think there's anybody out there that really wants to fly on a plane that doesn't have at least a human sitting in that cockpit.
Right. Agreed. So technology is always evolving, always changing. Anything on the horizon you can speak to as far as, you know, where this technology is going or what we can possibly see?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of areas that we're going to see. You know, we're going to continue to see more integration of the various functions. You know, right now, blind spotter is a separate technology. But I think at some point that's going to connect into the fusion technology. Lane departure warning, you know, we didn't get a chance to talk about that a little bit, but you had mentioned AutoView, which was the original lane departure warning system that we had. Well, that's really gone now. What we've done is because Fusion is using a radar working with a camera, now we can integrate those features of lane departure warning and expand on the capabilities. So now instead of just getting a lane departure warning, which you still get if you drift out of the lane, we can add features like lane keeping assist, which utilizes the camera to look at the lines in the road and give you a little bit of nudge on the steering wheel, kind of a haptic alert when you might be drifting, all the way to one of the technologies we didn't get to demonstrate when you were out at the track, Jason, but that is highway departure warning and braking. So you have the situation where you have a drowsy driver or a distracted driver, and they drift off the road. They cross over the fog line with the right, and they get a lane departure warning. But then the left side of the vehicle crosses over, so they're off the road now. And we give them a highway departure warning, which kind of sounds like the submarine dive, you know, boom, boom, boom command. Yeah. And if they don't respond to that by steering, adding throttle or braking, we will actually cut throttle and apply the brakes to slow them down. You know, nothing gets the driver's attention more if they're distracted or drowsy when the truck does something they don't expect it to do.
Yep.
So we try to get them re-engaged from that standpoint. And so those advancements like that are going to continue. We've seen the software upgrades, hardware upgrades, you know, new radars, new cameras, new things that are going to be able to help. So integration, hardware upgrades, and software upgrades, those are the things that are going to really drive the future.
Nice. Well, definitely something to look forward to. And yeah, you just keep kind of adding to the capabilities of the system to assist the driver and assist the fleets and keeping everyone safe on the road. So it's impressive. And like I said, year over year, it's just going to keep getting, you know, more evolved.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's kind of funny. You sit back and you think about it. We introduced the adaptive cruise control with braking in 2009. And here we are in 2022, and we're on our third version of, gosh, is that our third, maybe even more, version of Fusion. And, you know, you think about how long it took to get from mechanical to ABS brakes in the trucking industry. Yeah. So, you know, we're like moving at light year speed for this industry.
Yeah. I find that with the technology coming, it's coming fast and it's evolving quickly, and it's a lot, but it's all very impressive and it's all very helpful for sure. So, hey, we want to thank you for hopping on, giving us kind of a quick background of everything you guys bring to the table and keeping everyone safe on the road and walking through the components. And I appreciate you taking the time. It was great to be informed and updated.
Thanks, Jason. My pleasure. And hope everyone takes us in and keeps safe out on the roadways.
Well said. Well, that concludes today's episode. I want to thank Fred from Bendix for joining us. And to catch up on past episodes, check out transportationexchangepodcast.ca. Until next time, thanks for listening.